The quote is from Shakespeare. Figures. She rolled her eyes. Dull roses and recycled bullshit. The man never could be original. I bet if Weston sent you flowers, they'd be wildflowers or something as rare and unique as you are. And I'd prefer a card that said, let's fuck, over some pretentious quote any day of the week. Weston. Shit. I'd momentarily forgotten that the bellman said Mr. Lockwood had accepted the delivery and made sure they were sent right up to my room. But something told me when I ran into him next, he wouldn't have forgotten.
Chapter 18. Well, don't you look like shit? Not even Mr. Thorne's insults could make me smile this morning. When I'd left Sophia's room, I'd felt conflicted. I didn't want her to think I was a good man, only to feel like she'd had the rug pulled out from under her when she got to know me better and realized I wasn't. That was exactly what her asshole of an ex had done. But by the time I'd showered and gotten dressed, I'd started to get over myself. The fantastic night we'd shared together pushed my concerns to the side, at least for the time being. I even ordered her damn flowers. I couldn't remember the last time I'd sent a woman flowers. But then I'd gone downstairs and happened to be at the front desk when a delivery arrived for her, and not from the florist I'd visited. My morning was shot to hell after that. I dragged a hand through my hair. I didn't get much sleep last night. The look on Mr. Thorne's face told me what he was thinking. I shook my head. I wasn't out partying. I did go to a club, but I didn't fall off the wagon. He wagged a crooked finger at me. You know better than that. Going to a place where everyone around you is indulging is asking for trouble. I couldn't argue, because he was right. Though I spent every day in one hotel or another that had a few bars, some of our properties even had clubs in them. Unless I was changing my line of work, I wouldn't be avoiding places that served alcohol. Besides, I hadn't had the urge to drink last night. My mind had been too busy obsessing over Sophia. Yeah, I know. But it wasn't like that. I shrugged. I wasn't even tempted. Mr. Thorne shook his head anyway. Did you at least bring my ticket? I grabbed the scratch off from my back pocket and handed him the book from his nightstand he always leaned on. $1 $10 ticket, like you asked for. He put on his reading glasses, grabbed a quarter, and went to work. So, you stayed at this club all night, and that's why you look like a raccoon? I shook my head. I spent the night with the woman I've been seeing, if you must know. Sophia? Yeah, Sophia. He finished scratching off the gray latex and brushed the scraps from the lotto ticket. You two going steady now? Considering it's not 1953 anymore, no, we're not going steady. You just hooking up then? His use of the term made me chuckle. But most of his vocabulary came from Jerry Springer, so I wasn't surprised he knew what it meant. Yeah, I guess that's what we're doing. Don't you ever want to settle down, meet a nice woman, come home to her after a long day of work and share a nice meal she cooked for you? Maybe pop out a couple of rugrats? I could not picture Sophia wearing an apron and making me dinner, but I got what he was trying to say. I'd never given much thought to coming home to a woman or starting a family. But the truth was, I could envision that with Sophia. Albeit my version of things wasn't exactly Mr. Thorne's. Instead of her cooking me a nice dinner, we'd have reservations for 7 o'clock since we both worked a lot. I'd lose track of time and show up at the restaurant a half hour late, and she'd be pissed. I'd slide into the booth next to her instead of across from her and apologize. She'd tell me to stick my apology up my ass. We'd argue, and I'd notice how sexy she looked with fire in her eyes and slip my hand under the table. When the waiter came to take our order, I'd be knuckles deep inside her beautiful pussy, and she'd be angry when he walked away that I hadn't withdrawn. But then she'd come so hard, she'd lose some of her fight. I'd whisper another apology when she softened, and she'd tell me not to let it happen again. Though that fantasy would never become a reality, because sooner or later, Sophia was going to hate me. I shrugged. We don't really stand a chance. Mr. Thorne's brows pulled together. Why not? It's complicated. Let's just say there are a lot of obstacles in our way. Mr. Thorne steepled his fingers. You know what obstacles are?
What?
They're tests to see if you deserve to win. How do you show someone they're worth fighting for unless you've knocked down whatever's in your way? If you're just going to sit on your ass and not even try, he shook his head. Well, I guess you don't deserve the prize anyway. I thought you had more balls than that, kid. I gritted my teeth and bit my tongue.
You want me to take you for a walk or what?
How about you take me over to that new fancy hotel of yours? I'd like to see it. You know, that's where I proposed to my Eliza.
I didn't know that.
They do that place up nice for the holidays. I took her over and proposed in front of the big tree on Christmas Eve.
I guess you got engaged before 1962. Mr. Thorne's forehead wrinkled.
It was 1961. How'd you know that?
Because they stopped putting up a Christmas tree in 1962.
No shit. I nodded.
Apparently, the tree was another victim of the Sterling-Lockwood feud. Grace Copeland, the woman who kept the hotel and died recently, leaving it to my and Sophia's grandfathers, never put up a tree after her split with them, for sentimental reasons.
I guess that makes my proposal in front of the tree even more special, then. That place was magical at the holidays.
I had never stepped foot into the Countess until my family had become part owner. But I could imagine the lobby looked pretty nice all lit up with a big tree. The weather was pleasant outside today. I could probably wheel Mr. Thorne there in a half hour or so, get him some air and let him reminisce a little. So I grabbed his wheelchair, locked the wheels in place, and got ready to lift him out of bed. All right, old man, I'll bring you to see the hotel. But no telling dirty jokes to the staff, like you did when I took you to the live taping of that dumb talk show last month. You'll get my ass sued. After I walked Mr. Thorne over to the Countess, I spent an hour showing him the hotel. I was glad we hadn't run into Sophia. My ass was dragging, so I took him to get some caffeine at the lobby coffee shop, and we sat in the same corner I often sat in early in the morning while I waited for Sophia to come down and get her coffee. Mr. Thorne sipped an iced tea while looking around the grand lobby with a smile on his face.
This place is something special.
I nodded.
Yeah, it's nice. He shook his head. It's more than just nice, kid. It's magical. Can't you feel it?
He pointed to the two grand staircases that led up to the second floor from different directions.
That's where the tree goes. I got down on one knee right over there. Happiest day of my life.
I knew the last few years hadn't been easy for him. But it was pretty crazy that he could say proposing to a woman who was now his ex-wife was the happiest day of his life. I don't get it. You're divorced. You've said yourself that things didn't end well. How could the start of something that ended badly be the happiest day of your life?
One good day with my Eliza was worth 100 bad ones on my own. We only get one life, son. Chances are I'm going to die alone sitting in this chair one day. But you know what? When I sit here, I do a lot of thinking back to the good times. So while I might be alone now, I still have memories to keep me company. Bittersweet memories are better than regrets.
Just then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw Sophia walk through the revolving lobby door with Scarlett. She had a shopping bag in her hand, but her friend had at least half a dozen. They were laughing, and it made me smile that she'd enjoyed her day. The ladies were almost halfway across the lobby when Sophia looked around. It seemed like she sensed someone watching. Her eyes glided over to where I was sitting with Mr. Thorne, then flashed back in a double take. She leaned over to Scarlett to say something, and then they headed in our direction. Clueless, Mr. Thorne elbowed me.
Don't look now, but two beautiful birds are coming our way. I called dibs on the one on the left.
I shook my head. Don't think so, old man. That one's taken. Sophia's smile was a mix of curious and amused as she approached. Hi. I lifted my chin to Scarlett's bags. Looks like you might need another suitcase for your trip home.
The store is delivering the rest. I couldn't carry it all.
I smiled and shook my head.
She's totally not kidding,
Sophia said.
They really are delivering. I didn't even know they would do that type of thing.
Mr. Thorne cleared his throat next to me. Sorry. Sophia, Scarlett, this is Walter Thorne. The woman took turns extending their hands.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Thorne,
Scarlett said. Please, call me Walter, he replied.
What the hell,
I said. I have to call you Mr. Thorne, and these two you just met can call you Walter. If you were as pretty as they are, I'd let you call me whatever you wanted. I rolled my eyes. You're unbelievable. Maybe they should pick up your scratch-offs from now on, then. Mr. Thorne waved me off. An old man should be addressed formally, at least until using his first name is earned. I hadn't really been annoyed until he said that. And I haven't earned it yet? He tilted his head. Not quite. Sophia laughed.
I take it you two have known each other for a while?
Too long, I grumbled. He leaned toward the women and lowered his voice. Do you know what skinny jeans and a cheap hotel have in common?
What?
Sophia said. No ballroom. The ladies both laughed, which only egged Mr. Thorne on. A man brought a lady back to his hotel room after their first date, he said. Things were going well, and clothes started to come off. The man took his shoes and socks off, and the woman noticed his toes were all gnarly and twisted. She said, What's wrong with your toes? To which the man replied, I had tolio. She said, Tolio? Do you mean polio? He shook his head. Nope, I had tolio. A few minutes later, the man took off his pants, and the woman noticed his knees were all beat up. She said, What's wrong with your knees? The man replied, I had the measles. The woman replied, Measles? Don't you mean the measles? Again, he shook his head. Nope, had the measles. Things were getting hot and heavy, so the man finally took off his boxers. The woman looked down and said, What a shame. You had smallpox, too. The ladies cracked up again, and I rubbed my hand over my face. All right. I think that's my cue that it's time to get out of here. Things will only get worse after that start. We said goodbye, and Mr. Thorne opened his arms to Sophia. She smiled and leaned down for the hug he offered. I heard him give her more than that, though he tried his best to lower his voice. Don't give up on him too fast, okay, sweetheart? He whispered. Every once in a while, he pulls his head out of his ass, and it makes all those rough edges smooth out nicely.
Chapter 19. The next morning, Lewis, the hotel manager, stopped by my suite to deliver a bunch of reports our legal team needed. He set them down on the desk and noted the empty box of flowers there, as well as 2 dozen roses, blooms down, sticking out of the waste paper basket next to it.
Did I miss your birthday?
He asked. No, my birthday is in October. When I offered no additional explanation, he took the hint and nodded.
Why don't I take those with me? I'm on my way down to the loading dock next. The dumpster is out there. It'll get them out of your way and save housekeeping from carrying them down.
Sure, that would be great. Thank you. He picked up the box and stuffed the roses from the trash can back inside.
Did you throw out the others? I can grab those too if you want.
Others? Lewis nodded. The ones from Park Florist, the place around the corner. They came about a half hour after these did. Are you sure they were for me?
I'm pretty sure. I could have sworn Matt, the usual delivery guy, said flowers for Sophia Sterling.
Lewis shook his head.
But maybe I misheard. I can double-check with Mr. Lockwood.
Weston? Why would he know?
He walked over and said he'd take care of the delivery.
Something in my gut told me Lewis hadn't heard wrong. But who else would have sent me flowers? And why would Weston make sure these were delivered and not the others?
Don't worry about it. I'll check with Weston. Thank you for letting me know.
After Lewis left,
I needed to get the reports down to my legal team, so I put off asking Weston. Then the morning got so busy that I forgot about it until I was on my way to grab a chopped salad for a late lunch and noticed the sign above the building a few doors down. Park Florist. On a whim, I decided to go in. Hi, I had some flowers delivered yesterday. I think they were from this florist, but the card was missing, so I'm not sure who they're from. The woman behind the counter frowned. Oh no, I'm so sorry about that. Let me see what we have on file. I smiled. That would be great. Could I just see some ID, please? Sure. I dug my license out of my purse and handed it to the woman. She smiled. Sophia Sterling. I remember the gentleman who came in and ordered these. He was quite the looker, if you don't mind me saying so, and was very particular in what he picked out. I should have the card in our system. We make our customers type their note into our iPad so we can print it out nicely and don't make any mistakes. Thank you. That would be great. The woman typed into her computer and then walked to a printer and picked up a small, typed-up floral card. Handing it to me, she smiled. Here you go. Sorry about that again. I looked down and read it. The lips on your face taste almost as good as the ones between your legs. Apologies for the abrupt departure. Let me make it up to you. Dinner in my room at 7. I wasn't sure if the florist had read it or not, but I felt my cheeks flush anyway. Thank you. Have a good day. I rushed toward the door, but on my way out, the refrigerator full of colorful flowers caught my eye. I turned back. What kind of flowers were those that you sent me? I'd never seen them before. The florist smiled. They're blackberry ripple dahlias. Beautiful, aren't they? I pretended I knew what they looked like. Yes, they are. You know, being a florist is sort of like being a priest. We get people come in seeking forgiveness for their sins, and others sending flowers to women who aren't their wives. You'd be amazed how many people tell us intimate stories while they're picking out an arrangement. We make a habit of keeping our customers' confidence. But I don't think there's any harm in telling you that when the gentleman who sent you those flowers walked in, he went right for those dahlias. I asked him if they were your favorite, and he said he wasn't sure, but they were beautiful and unique. A lot like the woman he was sending them to. My heart did a little flutter. Only Weston Lockwood could make my emotions bounce around like a ping-pong ball. The other night had been amazing, beautiful and heartwarming and so physically satisfying. But the morning after, he'd seemed to shut down. Though we'd talked a lot about Caroline, which wasn't easy for him. So after he left, I'd tried to chalk up what felt like a retreat to just a somber mood. Then the flower delivery from Liam came, and the flower delivery from Weston hadn't come. And then there was Mr. Thorne. Who was he? In just the few minutes I'd spent with them, I could see there was an interesting dynamic there. I smiled at the florist, feeling more confused than when I'd walked in. Thank you for sharing that with me. Outside on the street, I started to compose a text to Weston about the flowers, but decided I wanted to see his face when I asked him about the two deliveries. So instead, I sent a short, vague text. Sophia. Need to discuss a delivery issue. Are you free? By the time I'd picked up my salad and walked back to the hotel, my phone pinged with the response. Weston. I'm in Florida. Is it something we can do over the phone? What? Sophia. When did you go to Florida? Weston. This morning. I don't know why, but I felt a little hurt that he hadn't mentioned the trip to me. But maybe it was an emergency and something was wrong. I knew his grandfather lived down there, on the opposite coast of my grandfather. Sophia. Is everything okay? Weston. Yes, fine. I mulled over asking why he hadn't mentioned leaving. At a minimum, we were running a hotel together. So even if there wasn't anything personal going on between us, a heads up would have been nice. But I didn't want to get into it over text. Instead, I opted to wait and have the discussion in person, along with the talk about the flowers. Sophia. It can wait. Give me a call when you're back. 2 days later, I hadn't heard another word from Weston. His office door was still closed, and he hadn't called to let me know he was back like I'd asked him to. Scarlett had flown back to London this morning, and I'd spent the majority of the afternoon in with the legal and accounting team, trying to finalize the list of assets that still needed valuation. Our bid to buy out the minority share from the charity was due in less than 3 weeks. Around 7 o'clock, I went downstairs to the front desk to check in with the reception manager, since Lewis was off today. While I was there, a messenger delivered a package, and I overheard the bellman say to one of the employees, "I'm going to run this up to Mr. Lockwood. I'll be back in 5 minutes in case anyone's looking for me." The clerk nodded. "No problem. I'll keep an eye on your station." I walked over and interjected, "Mr. Lockwood is out of town, but he has a mail bin in the manager's office in the back." The clerk looked confused. "Did he leave again? I saw him a few hours ago." "You saw Weston today?" She nodded. "He came in about 11 this morning with his luggage." "What the hell? He's back? Where the heck had he been all day, and why hadn't he called me like he was supposed to?" I forced a smile and extended my hand to the bellman. "I'll take it up to him. I didn't realize he was back, and I have some reports to drop off also." I stewed the entire ride up to the 8th floor. What the hell was his problem? If he wanted to back away from whatever was going on between us personally, that was one thing. But I'd told him I had business to discuss, and he hadn't even had the courtesy to let me know he was back in town? At his door, I took a deep breath and knocked. The entire floor was quiet, including his room. After a minute or two and no sign of Weston, I wondered if maybe the clerk had made a mistake. Sighing, I headed back to the elevator with his package. But when the silver doors slid open, guess who was inside? "You're back?" I said. Weston stepped off the elevator. "Do you need something?" "Did you get in this morning?" "Closer to lunchtime, maybe a little before noon."
"Where were you?"
"In Florida. I told you that the other day."
"No, I mean all afternoon. I came by your office earlier and the door was shut."
He looked away. "I had a lot of work to do, so I kept it closed."
I squinted at him. "I thought you were going to call me when you got in."
He continued to avoid my eyes. "I was."
"Yes, remember? I texted you the other day and said I wanted to discuss a delivery issue."
The adjacent second elevator doors dinged and slid open. A woman from housekeeping wheeled a cart out, and we all exchanged pleasantries. She parked her cart outside a guest room 2 doors down from the elevator and propped the door open. I looked at Weston, waiting for his answer. He shrugged. "It must have slipped my mind. What's up?" The maid went in and out of the nearby room, bringing in sheets and taking out garbage, and I didn't want to have this conversation in the hall.
"Do you think we can have this discussion in your room?"
Weston seemed to hesitate a moment, but he nodded. We walked to his room together in awkward silence. I wasn't sure what was up, but I was now certain something was. Inside his room, the first thing I noticed was the enormous flower arrangement sitting on the desk. It was still wrapped in paper, but it had the logo of Park Florist stamped all over it.
"Flowers?" I said, arching an eyebrow.
"Do you have a secret admirer?" He walked over to the minibar and grabbed a water.
I tried to deliver them to a guest for the bellman the other day right before I left for my trip, but the guest had checked out early. I was running late, so I just left them in here. I need to toss them."
"Oh, really? That would be such a shame. What kind of flowers are they?"
Well, I'd learned one thing about Weston today. He was a really shitty liar. He couldn't seem to meet my eyes every time he spewed another one. He shrugged.
"Not sure. I didn't look."
I stared at him until he returned my gaze.
"What?"
he asked.
"Nothing. Just seems like a shame to throw out perfectly good flowers. Maybe I'll take them. I love flowers."
I was really enjoying screwing with them, so I added,
"Unless they're dahlias. I'm not a fan, and they make me sneeze."
Weston had looked away again, but now his eyes came back to mine. I watched as the wheels in his head turned, trying to decide how to proceed. In the end, he went with cautiously.
"Dahlias only?"
I flashed a smile somewhere between smug and friendly, which only added to his confusion.
Yep, just dahlias. In fact, the blackberry ripple variety are the absolute worst. I just sneeze and sneeze and sneeze. His already squinting eyes narrowed even more. So I widened my smile and upped the ante. Walking over to the flowers on the other side of the room, I fingered the card still stapled to the paper wrapping. You weren't even curious what the card said? Weston stayed rooted to his spot. He looked about 75% sure I was fucking with him, yet the remaining 25% wanted to hold out before folding. He shook his head slowly. This time when he spoke, his eyes remained locked with mine.
Nope. No interest whatsoever.
I fiddled with the card but left it attached to the paper. Hmm. Well, I am. Hope you don't mind if I read it. Weston's jaw ticked as I called his bluff.
It's an invasion of the sender's privacy, he grumbled, don't you think?
I plucked the card from the paper wrapping and smiled. Then you don't have to read it. Taking my sweet-ass time, I ran my nail across the back of the envelope and sliced it open. For full dramatic effect, I flashed my pearly whites at Weston as I slowly pulled the card out. Before I could scan the first word, Weston was in my personal space. He snatched the card from my hand and gripped both sides of the desk around me, boxing me in. His eyes gleamed.
Don't screw with me.
I lifted my hand to my chest and feigned innocence. Why, whatever do you mean?
Ask what you want to ask, Sophia.
I tapped my fingernail to my lips, looking up at the ceiling. Hmm, I have so many questions. I'm not sure where to start.
Start wherever you want, because you playing games just pisses me off. And you know what happens when we get pissed at each other.
He leaned in closer. Our noses were only 2 inches apart.
Don't you, Soph?
My mind immediately conjured images of me pressed against the wall with my skirt around my waist, and Weston with a fistful of my hair standing behind me. When I didn't answer right away, he smirked.
Yes, that. Exactly what you're thinking.
I squinted.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking now, do you? You were thinking of the first time we were together.
He nodded toward the door.
I fucked you right up against that wall.
My mouth dropped open. Weston ran his thumb along my bottom lip.
Well, we were both thinking the same thing a minute ago. But now with this beautiful mouth looking so inviting, I'm remembering a different evening.
Luckily, at that moment the smell of the flowers behind me permeated my nose, reminding me of the purpose of my visit. I cleared my throat. Why did you buy me flowers and then not give them to me? Weston's jaw flexed.
It seemed you had another delivery, and I didn't think you needed two arrangements.
I tilted my head. Why not let me decide which arrangement I wanted to keep? Weston relinquished his position and stood with his arms folded across his chest.
It pissed me off that another man felt he had reason to send you flowers.
How do you know another man sent them? Maybe they were from a woman friend.
Because I read the damn card, Sophia.
I folded my arms across my chest, matching his stance.
Really?
Didn't you just tell me that would be an invasion of the sender's privacy?
And if the roles were reversed? Can you honestly tell me if flowers came from me, you wouldn't sneak a look at the card?
I thought about it and shook my head. I'm not sure. Weston gave me a curt nod.
You're a better person than I am. It happened. Can we move on, please?
I shook my head. From the flowers, yes. After you apologize for invading my privacy and intercepting my delivery. He held my eyes for a few seconds before nodding.
Fine. I apologize for reading the card. The delivery I intercepted was the one I sent, so I had every right to do that.
I rolled my eyes. Fine, I accept your half-ass apology. But I have other questions, aside from the flowers. Weston mumbled under his breath.
Of course you do.
Why did you leave the other morning so abruptly? Weston shook his head and blew out a deep breath.
Our situation is complicated, Sophia, you know that.
Yes, I do. But we'd just had a really nice evening together. I thought we'd grown closer.
Bingo. That, in itself, is the complication.
Everything about the two of us was complicated. Our relationship had been destined to be difficult before we were even born. But something inside told me that wasn't what had spooked Weston the other morning. So, it bothered you that our families have been feuding 50 years, and we're basically competitors? Weston looked away.
Yes, that's part of it.
I chuckled. And just like you seem to be able to tell what I'm thinking, I can tell when you're full of shit. Weston's eyes slid back to meet mine. What was the other part of it? I asked. He dragged a hand through his hair and exhaled harshly.
What do you want me to say? That I'm an alcoholic who's fucked up pretty much everything important in his life and you're too good for me?
If that's how you feel, yes. He shook his head.
Of course it is. I'm not an idiot.
Okay, well, at least if I know how you're feeling, I won't feel used. Weston's face softened.
You felt used?
I nodded.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel that way.
It's fine. Obviously, we both have a tendency to jump to conclusions. Weston nodded, looking down. Was your trip to Florida planned? Did you know about it when you left my room the other day? He shook his head.
I needed to speak to my grandfather about a few things. My grandmother isn't well, so he doesn't travel unless it's necessary.
I didn't know. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
We were quiet a long moment. We'd cleared the air, but some of what he'd said bothered me. I was probably just as hesitant as he was about getting involved, but none of the things that gave me pause had to do with him not being good enough, and I wanted him to know that. Can I ask you something? I said.
What?
Do you have one person you look up to more than anyone? He nodded immediately.
Caroline. She never felt sorry for herself, complained, or stopped smiling.
He shook his head.
Hell, she spent more time listening to my problems and trying to cheer me up than bitching.
I smiled. I wish I'd gotten to know her better. She sounds very special.
She was.
The person I look up to more than anything is my mom. She was an alcoholic.
Really? I had no idea.
I shrugged. Most people don't. God forbid anything real get out about the Sterling family. My father walked out on us without looking back, but he always made sure to cover my mother's tracks. After all, her last name stayed Sterling even after they divorced.
Did she start drinking after they split up?
I shook my head. I wish I could say she did. It would give me something else to despise my father for. I had no idea she was an alcoholic until I was a teenager. After she found out she had cancer, I went to a bunch of doctors with her. A few suggested she go to rehab before she had her first surgery. Believe it or not, that confused me. Even though I saw her drink every single day, my mom drank martinis out of expensive crystal glasses, so somehow it never dawned on me that she had a problem. Alcoholics swigged from the bottle, wore dirty clothes, and got sloshed and fell down. They didn't wear pearls and bake pies. Weston nodded.
When I went to rehab, I was pretty surprised that half the people in there were over 50 and looked pretty damn normal.
My mother did a different kind of scared straight program. She kept getting headaches and blurry vision and probably attributed both to hangovers. It's what delayed her diagnosis. She had a tumor the size of a golf ball in her brain by the time she told the doctor about her symptoms. She was just so used to hiding things related to her drinking. Weston took my hand and squeezed. Anyway, my point is, my mother was loyal, loving, kind, smart, and generous to a fault. She was the first person in her family to go to college, and even after she married my father, she continued to work part-time as an adjunct professor. Most people probably thought it was a fluff position, since she married into more money than she would ever need. But she took her entire paycheck and sent it to her parents every single week because they needed a little help. And when my father left us, she started teaching more classes and refused to take one dime from him, except for the cost of my education.
Wow.
I smiled. She was all those wonderful things. And she was also an alcoholic. I'm not going to pretend there weren't days that sucked, because there were plenty of those. But alcoholism is a disease, not a character trait, and it doesn't define who she was. Weston stared at me. I could tell he was lost in thought, but I couldn't tell if he understood why I'd shared this. The look on his face was intense, and his Adam's apple bobbed up and down.
Did you approve a $50,000 increase to our budget for the Boltons' construction?
My forehead wrinkled. I had no idea what I'd expected him to say in response to my heartfelt admission, but this was certainly not it. Yes, they needed an answer to avoid a delay, and you weren't around.
Is your phone not working?
I got angry. I had called you once. You were supposed to call me when you got in, which you never did. They needed to add steel headers to a weight-bearing wall in order to accommodate the extra weight on the roof above. It's not like I approved an invoice for decorating. If you want to be involved in every decision, I'd advise you to be here.
Don't do it again.
My hands flew to my hips. Then make yourself more goddamn accessible. Weston's eyes darkened.
You're not well-versed enough in construction to make large financial decisions, especially ones that involve Travis Bolton. He's laying the charm on thick, and you fall for it.
2 minutes ago, I'd wanted to hug him, and now I was seriously considering punching him in the face.
Screw you!
He smirked.
Been there, done that.
My eyes widened. Go to hell! He glared at me.
Turn around.
What?
Turn around. Bend over the desk.
Had he been drinking? He had to have fallen off the wagon and hit his damn head if he thought I was about to have sex with him. I have no idea what I was thinking being nice to you and opening up. I brushed past him and marched toward the door. He called after me.
You're forgetting your flowers.
I halted and decided to show him what he could do with his flowers. Walking back to the desk, I picked them up with the intention of tossing them in the garbage. But before I could turn around, Weston had pushed up against me.
I don't know how to do nice, Soph,
he whispered in my ear.
This I know how to do.
My pulse raced. I'd been practically shaking with anger.
Are you joking? You baited me into a fight because you don't know how to be nice to me?
He pushed his erection into my ass.
That depends on how you define nice. I would say giving you multiple orgasms is pretty nice.
I wanted to be mad, but I felt my resolve slipping.
You're an asshole, you know that?
There was a smile in his voice.
Yes, I do.
He paused.
Now bend over, sweetheart.
Sweetheart. One little word and I turned to mush. I stood there debating, wanting in the worst way to walk out the door, but somehow I couldn't get my feet to align with my head. Weston brushed the hair from my neck and kissed his way up to my ear.
I missed you, babe.
He snaked a hand around my waist and cupped between my legs, bunching the fabric of my skirt into his hand.
Tell me you're wet for me.
I was getting there, but I wasn't about to admit that.
You want me to do your job? Isn't it enough that I've been covering for you for 2 days?
He chuckled.
I'm about to make it up to you.
Weston pushed my skirt and panties aside and stroked up and down once before pushing 2 fingers inside me. It took me less than 3 minutes to come on his hand, and 10 seconds later I was bent over the desk as he pushed inside me. The second time I came, we shook the desk so hard the flowers tumbled to the floor. Weston said my name over and over again as he emptied himself inside of me. It was fast and furious, but just as physically satisfying as if it had been long and tender. He leaned over my back as he attempted to catch his breath.
Thank you,
he said.
I should be the one thanking you. You did most of the work.
Weston pulled out and turned me around to face him. He pushed the hair off my face.
I wasn't talking about the orgasm. I was talking about what you said earlier.
I grabbed 2 fistfuls of his shirt and nodded. There's no reason to thank me for that. It was the truth. Your struggles with alcohol don't have to define you. We all get knocked down at one point or another in our life. But you stood taller when you got back up. You should be proud of that. He looked down for a while before his eyes returned to mine.
Have dinner with me tomorrow night.
We'd had dinner together quite a few times over the last few weeks.
Okay. I don't mean dinner at the restaurant downstairs while we discuss business, or you eating with me because I'm blackmailing you to share a meal. I want a date. A real date.
I smiled. That sounds nice. I'd like that.
Let's not get carried away and call it nice. It's still going to end with my cock inside of you.
I laughed. I expect nothing less. Unfortunately, I still had a million things to do tonight, things that needed to get done by the morning for the valuation team. So I pressed my lips to his and said, I need to get going now. I have a lot of work to do tonight. Weston didn't hide his pout. I straightened my clothing and gave him one last quick kiss. At the door, I looked back.
Oh, by the way, I threw out the roses the day they came, and I'm not allergic to dahlias. You know my room number, so clean up that mess and go get me some new ones.
Chapter 20. The next day, the deliveries just kept coming and coming. They started at 10 a.m., and by 2 in the afternoon, I had 4 enormous arrangements of dahlias. Each was a different vibrant color, and each from a different florist. Weston had been in the conference room with his team all day, so I hadn't even had a chance to thank him for the first delivery when he popped his head into my office. I was on the phone and held up a finger, motioning him to come in as I finished my conversation with my father.
Yes, I'm doing that, I said. They know our deadline, and I'm on top of them.
Weston shut the door behind him and made sure he had my attention as he reached back and twisted the lock. Meanwhile, my father was busy interrogating me about every decision I'd made here at the hotel and the laundry list of things I still had left to do. But his words started to fade away as I watched the man with the devilish smirk walk toward me. Weston Lockwood was positively sinful. He had a jawline that would make a sculptor weep and eyes that were perpetually undressing me, but it was his crooked, dirty smile that always did me in. He walked behind my desk, leaned his ass against it, and casually started to take off his tie.
"And what about those open lawsuits?" my father snapped. "Has Charles gotten back to you about the potential exposure we have there?"
Weston tugged the tie from his neck and wrapped the ends around his fists.
Yeah. He sent me an opinion on the slip and fall, but I'm still waiting for his review of the other two suits.
"There are 4 lawsuits pending, Sophia," my father barked. "What are you doing at that hotel? Do I need to be there every day?"
Weston held his hands up, his tie stretched between them. His hooded eyes raked over my body as if contemplating what he might tie up first. Distracted, I'd heard what my father said, but my response capabilities were running in slow motion.
"I think I need to get back on a plane."
That snapped me out of my haze. I shook my head, turning away from Weston.
No, that's not necessary at all. There are 4 suits. I knew that. I just misspoke.
"I want an update tomorrow morning," he grumbled.
"Fine, I'll talk to you tomorrow then."
As usual, he didn't bother to say goodbye. The line just went dead. Normally, a conversation like that would leave me sitting and stewing, but it was impossible to feel angry with the glint in Weston's eyes. I tossed my cell phone on the desk and swiveled in my chair to face him.
"I think you went a little overboard with the flowers," I smiled. His eyes focused on my lips.
"Have you ever had sex blindfolded?"
"Okay, then. Guess we aren't talking about the flower deliveries." I crossed one leg over the other.
"No, I haven't. Have you ever blindfolded anyone?"
He shook his head, which surprised me.
"You'll be the first."
I arched a brow.
"Sure of yourself, aren't you?"
"How about in public?"
"Does in a car count?"
"That depends. Where was the car parked?"
"In a parking lot at the beach after it was closed."
Weston grinned.
"Then no, that doesn't count."
"What about you? Ever had sex in public?"
"Not while sober."
As ridiculous as it was, I felt a pang of jealousy.
"Well, then you have, and I'm not looking to be another notch on your belt."
Weston's grin turned into a full-blown, cocky smirk.
"You're cute when you're jealous."
I folded my arms across my chest.
"I'm not jealous."
"We have a meeting now. Otherwise, I'd love to argue with you over who's right and wrong. Or at least prop you up on your desk and eat you out while you try to yank the hair from my scalp."
"Oh, that sounded good." Weston read my mind and chuckled.
"Hold that thought. There's another problem with the construction, and I told Sam we'd come up to discuss it."
I should have been disappointed that we had another issue to contend with, but let's face it, I really just wanted to go deal with whatever it was and come back to pick up where we were leaving off. I stood. Okay, let's go. Weston didn't move out of my way. Instead, he slipped one hand around my neck and pulled me to him, placing a tender kiss on my lips.
You're welcome, he said against my mouth.
What am I thanking you for?
The flowers. And no, I didn't go a little overboard. You said you liked them, so you should have them.
My insides felt all mushy. That's sweet. But four deliveries weren't necessary. The gesture was enough. Though I am looking forward to thanking you for each one.
That's good, he winked, because you have a lot more than four coming.
Upstairs, the Boltons didn't even have to point us to the latest issue with the construction. The wide-open wall filled with dry rot was self-explanatory. Weston and I were already looking at it when Sam and Travis walked over.
This whole wall needs to come out, Travis said. There's some leaky pipes above that must have been trickling for years. The wood is soft and warped.
The wall ran the length of the entire ballroom. It had to be at least 100 feet.
What about the leak itself? Weston asked. How much of the pipe needs to be swapped out?
We can probably contain the leak and fix the current problem, but that's only a band-aid. The pipes all along the ceiling should be changed. They're pretty badly corroded. Now's the time to do it since the walls are wide open, but that also means a delay of a few days at least and another plumbing bill.
Weston and I looked at each other. I shook my head. Let's just do it right. The last thing we need is to start holding events in here and have leaks spring up. Weston nodded.
I agree.
He looked at Sam.
How soon can you get us an estimate?
I can start working on it now and bring it up to you by the time I get out of here tonight at 8.
I won't be around this evening, Weston said.
Travis looked at me and smiled.
I can drop it off with Sophia.
Weston's jaw flexed.
She won't be around tonight either. We'll both be busy, all night. Tomorrow night is fine.
Travis gave us a questioning look, but he knew better than to ask. Instead, he gave a curt nod.
All right, sounds good.
On our way out, I teased Weston. That was the equivalent of peeing on a fire hydrant.
What are you talking about?
We'll both be busy all night? You might not have used the words, but it was pretty obvious what you were saying. We arrived at the elevator bank, and Weston pushed the button.
Would you like to fight about it?
We could cross sex in public off my to-do list. I'm sure it would make Saul in security's year. He's been working a lot of double shifts since we haven't replaced the night guard yet. I've been meaning to pick him up a bottle to say thank you, but I think he'd like listening to the way you moan much better.
I scowled at him as the elevator doors slid open. Weston put his hand on my back, guiding me to enter first. Why am I even having dinner with you tonight? I asked. You're such an ass. He stood behind me in the elevator and whispered in my ear,
Because you like my cock.
I squirmed. It's often the only part of you I like. When the doors slid open on our office floor, I stepped off. Weston stayed in the elevator.
Aren't you coming?
I said. He smirked.
I will later. Be downstairs at 6:30, Sophia.
Chapter 21. Whose bright idea was it to go out to dinner all the way across town, to a fancy restaurant with appetizers, dinner, dessert, and dancing? This restaurant is beautiful, Sophia looked around. Have you been here before? I shook my head. Did you wear your hair up for me?
You do that a lot, you know.
What?
I ask you a question, and rather than answer it, you respond with a question on a totally unrelated topic.
I guess sometimes I have a one-track mind when I'm around you. She smiled.
Yes, I did.
I was confused for a second. She jumped back to my question about her hair. Thank you. But since you did that, you can expect me to be distracted all night. Sophia looked even more gorgeous than usual. She wore a red dress with a halter top and a fuck ton of cleavage on display. The way the top wrapped around her neck showcased that collarbone I loved so much.
My eyes bounced back and forth like I was in a tennis match, volleying from round, full tits to her succulent neck. I'd had the menu in my hand for a few minutes with my head tilted down, though I still hadn't read a single word. So when the waiter walked over to take our order, I wasn't even sure what my choices were.
"I'm going to have the pistachio-encrusted sea bass, please," Sophia said.
I handed the waiter my menu. "Same." When he walked away, Sophia sipped her drink with a smirk.
"You have no idea what was on the menu, do you?"
"Nope. Guess I'm lucky I usually like what you like."
"What's going on in that head of yours that has you so preoccupied, Lockwood?"
"You sure you want the answer to that question?" She giggled, and I swear a rush of heat seeped through my chest. I'd gone out with gigglers before, and Sophia was definitely not one of those. During the day, she wore conservative business clothing and worked hard not to let anything super feminine overshadow her capabilities. She laughed during a business lunch and wore high heels, both of which I found sexy as shit. But something happened when she went into date mode. She let her guard down, and all that pent-up feminine stuff came flowing out. So, yeah, I was attracted to Sophia the businesswoman. But Sophia the woman out on a date who allowed herself to giggle freely? She was absolutely mesmerizing.
"I definitely want the answer," she said.
I reached for my water and slugged half of it back. "All right. You know how I love your neck?"
"I do."
"Well, tonight, you have the most incredible cleavage on display, so my eyes can't decide where to look. You look absolutely gorgeous, Soph." She smiled.
"Thank you. But I have to admit, that's a lot cleaner than I expected."
I leaned toward her, over the table. "I wasn't finished yet. While looking at your beautiful tits and the creamy skin on your chest and throat, I'm envisioning what my cum would look like all over it. I've been busy debating if one spill would be enough to blanket everything I want to cover, or if I would need to unload twice to properly drench you." Sophia's mouth dropped open, and she laughed nervously.
"Oh, my."
The only thing I liked better than feminine Sophia on a date was turned on Sophia with her mouth hanging open. I put two fingers under her chin and nudged her jaw back up. "I'm going to get arrested if you don't keep this beautiful thing shut." Lucky for me, the waiter came back to deliver our appetizers. He spent a few minutes telling us about all of their desserts, since some of them needed to be ordered an hour in advance. I was grateful that Sophia passed on the souffle because I intended to eat my dessert in private. When he was gone, it was Sophia's turn to guzzle some of her ice water. When she set it back down on the table, she immediately picked up the cocktail she'd ordered and drained half of that, too. I chuckled. I'm a little envious that I can't have something to take the edge off.
"I bet. You must walk around really damn tense from all the crap that goes on in your brain."
We laughed, which seemed to ease the dangerous sexual tension from a few minutes ago. "You wore red on prom night, too," I said. Her brows pulled together.
"Did I? I can't even remember what my dress looked like at the moment."
I leaned back in my chair and shut my eyes. "Strapless. A little lighter than the color you have on now. It had a silver, sparkly belt that looked like a ribbon." I motioned in a circle with my pointer finger. "You wore these silver, strappy sandals that wrapped around your ankle. You tried to take them off when we got back to your house, but I made you keep them on." Sophia's face lit up.
"Oh my God, that's right! How the heck did you remember that?"
"You don't forget what the dress of a woman you've spent half your life sneaking peeks at looks like when you finally get to slip it off of her."
You used to sneak peeks at me?
"Every chance I got. I thought you knew that. Though your face just told me I had that wrong. Guess I was pretty stealthy after all."
"Guess so. I really thought you hated me."
I smirked. "Oh, I did. But I also wanted to fuck your brains out." She laughed.
"So not much has changed then?"
"Nah. Now I just wish I hated you." I shook my head.
"You're impossible not to..."
I caught myself. "Like, You're impossible not to like. Sophia didn't seem to notice my slip, or if she did, she didn't call me out on it. As long as we're admitting the truth, I used to check you out all the time back in high school, she smiled. Maybe even middle school.
I was itching for a reason to clock that jackass you went out with even before the night of the prom.
Well, somebody took care of that for you. I'm not sure if you knew, but apparently he got into a fight after I left the prom and his nose was broken.
I'm aware. Cost my family 20 grand to stop him from pressing charges. Sophia's eyes widened.
It was you? Why didn't you ever say anything?
I shrugged. I didn't think it was a big deal. He got what was coming to him. Plus, it wasn't like you and I were friends.
I guess not.
Sophia got quiet for a minute. She traced the condensation on her water glass before looking back up at me.
Are we friends now?
You tell me, Soph. She took a moment before nodding.
When I think of a friend, I think of someone I can rely on, someone I trust and respect and also enjoy spending time with. So yeah, I think we're friends. You know, it's funny. I spent almost 2 years with Liam, yet I never felt like I could rely on him.
She shook her head.
I once had a small fender bender, but my airbag went off and it left me sort of rattled. I called Liam, hoping he would come, but he told me he was in the middle of a dress rehearsal and suggested I call Scarlett.
I shook my head. That guy really was a dick. She smiled sadly.
He was. You're definitely very different men. Somehow I know that if I'd called you like that, you'd have been there no matter what you were doing. You have a very protective way about you.
I nodded. I'd show up for you, Soph. I would have, even back in high school. Don't get me wrong, I'd bust your chops the entire time, but I'd show. She smiled.
So, I guess that makes us, what then? Friends with benefits? Pretty sure our families would disown us if they found out.
Fuck 'em, I said.
Oh, you don't care?
She arched a brow.
So your family knows we're sleeping together and have become friends?
I shook my head. No, but that's mostly because I don't discuss my personal life with them. Neither my father nor my grandfather has ever taken an interest before, and I don't expect them to start anytime soon.
Does that bother you? That they don't have an interest in getting to know you?
I shrugged. It used to. But I've spent way too many years trying to get them to see me. For a long time, I thought I was made of poison. Lately, I've started to realize that venom can come from a family of snakes. Sophia looked so vulnerable. Holding her hand out across the table, she nodded like she understood. And I'm sure she did, a little at least. Though I doubted she fully comprehended what my family was capable of. Putting my hand in hers, I looked down at our entwined fingers for a long time. Do you have plans for Labor Day weekend? She started to shake her head and then stopped.
Oh, actually I do. I usually go to the Children's Hospital charity event that weekend. My entire family does. Yours does too, right?
I leaned in and lifted her hand to my lips, placing a kiss on the top. They do. Will you go with me? She looked surprised.
Are you asking me to go as your date?
I nodded. I am.
With all of our family in attendance?
Why not? It'll be fun to see their faces. Sophia nibbled her bottom lip for a minute before her face lit up.
Okay.
I smiled. Good. Then I guess I have a new friend and a date for the event Labor Day weekend. I slipped my hand from hers and picked up my fork. Now eat your damn food before it gets cold so I can get you back to the hotel and decorate that neck.
So how are things going?
Dr. Halpern asked. She set her pad on her lap and folded her hands on top. Fine.
Have you been sleeping okay?
My brows pulled down. Same as usual. Why do you ask?
You look a little tired today.
I couldn't even try to hide my grin. I was up late. But don't worry, you don't have to run to my grandfather. I wasn't drinking or doing anything stupid. Well, I guess that would be a matter of opinion. My family would definitely think spending an entire night inside Sophia Sterling was stupid.
I see. So you're seeing someone then? I was hesitant to talk about Sophia with Dr. Halpern, even though she'd assured me nothing we discussed except my general emotional state went into her report to my grandfather. Doctor-patient confidentiality meant nothing when your resources were limitless, though I did want to work some things out. Yeah, I'm seeing someone. Tell me about her. I thought about how to describe Sophia. She's smart, beautiful, strong, and loyal. Basically, she's way above my pay grade. You think she's too good for you? I shook my head. Not think, no. She's absolutely too good for me. What makes you say that? I shrugged. She just is. Let's back up for a moment. You said she's smart. Do you feel you have inferior intelligence? No, we can go toe-to-toe. Okay. You said she was beautiful. Do you consider yourself unattractive? I knew I wasn't. That wasn't what this was about. I'll save you some time, Doc. We're not equals on the loyalty front. Is it because you have a tendency to stray and she doesn't? There was no damn way stepping out would be an issue with Sophia in my bed. No, sex is definitely not an issue. So this is about you being someone she can rely on for the things that are not physical? I let out a long, low sigh. I don't